We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, backdoor, what a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This is Udort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Uncontested Weekly Show, part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and proudly sponsored by some spicy chicken at Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. I'm your host on this Wednesday evening after an overtime L, JD Silva, joined by Nick Crane.
What it do, baby?
You know, we could be doing better, but we're good.
Could be.
We could be doing better, but we're good still. It's fine.
50 win team. You can't be upset.
No. This is the night where you say, well, you can't win them all.
Especially when your MVP candidate's sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And probably should be, to be fair.
Probably should be. He's beat up. We're gonna digest this game against the Rockets. We're going to talk about last night's game against the Pelicans, which feels like longer than just last night. Feels like it happened 3 days ago at this point. And then hit up Spark of the Week like we usually do on Wednesdays. Yeah, shorter show tonight. Smaller crew than usual. Gonna have some fun. Everybody in the comments, we're fine. Chill out. So tonight's game against the Rockets. Thunder.
But lose. Chill out.
Yeah, let's chill out. Everybody chill out. Thunder lose 126-132 to the Houston Rockets in overtime. Honestly, although they lost this game, I thought it was very fun. You got to see with SJ out, you got to see other guys step up and operate outside of their comfort zone, operate outside of their norm, try some insane things. We got like the dunk of the year or more
by for the Isaiah Thunder, Taylor. Probably not for the NBA, but for the Thunder, probably
the Thunder.
Yeah. I mean, it rivals Chet's when he cocked it back against Utah.
Yeah, it's been a fun March for dunks in the NBA across the board.
Josh making buckets from his butt in the paint.
Yeah, Josh, a lot of weird. This game had everything. It was
strange, man.
Insane shot making from both teams.
You had
Josh shooting the ball from on his ass.
You had wildly inefficient players scoring inefficiently. It was a lot.
Yeah. The Houston Rockets won, led by the 2024 version of J.R. Smith, and you know. Props to him. Shout out to him. He's had a great March. Oh. Jalen Green. Round of applause for that guy.
Love it. I love it. I actually like, as a basketball enjoyer, it's actually fun to watch Jalen Green because he makes absurd ass shots. Like absurd. That's like the fun fan point of view of basketball. The rational point of view is I bet 31 other teams besides the Rockets are saying, yeah. Please take those shots. Like,
oh yeah.
If you charted out shot quality across the league, Jalen Green is low. If he's making them, he's gonna kill you. I think the odds would say that's not going to happen very often. I think that the second thing is if Jalen Green's a superstar, like we're seeing on Twitter, give him the max. Please give him the max.
Yep, lock up he and Alpi, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, there we go.
The future.
That's the two-headed monster for Houston moving forward.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's just the process for Jalen Green is the same to me, that where he's just, you know, doing generally insane shit on the basketball court, and he's always had the talent to score. It's just the way he goes about doing it and everything else he does is tough. But, you know, he led them to victory tonight. He ended with some clutch shots.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, where do we want to actually start with this game? You want to talk like big moments? Do you want to talk players specifically?
Let's do players. I think we have to start with Josh.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He had a 25 point outing last night against the Pelicans. A 31 point outing tonight against the Rockets. He's playing well. We're not putting a superstar label on him because sample size matters. He's been playing well, though. He's actually turned a corner. Like, you look at the month of March, 3-point shooting is above 50%. You look at the last 8 or 9 games, he's like putting up the numbers that I think we probably thought Josh was going to come into the season with. It's like a 15-6-5 kind of mark, which is like, that's Josh. Like he was never going to be a superstar that puts up like Luka numbers. But if you can get that out of a guy that's like your fourth option, that's phenomenal. That's what he's been of late. I think you could argue against the Pelicans, he was the reason they won. There was not a lot of positive takeaways against the Pelicans. He was one. Tonight, like, obviously it's a different conversation and a loss. But if Oklahoma City had won this game, and they probably should have, like, they were up 5 late in regulation.
Yeah.
It's very rare. I'll say this. I thought about this tonight. Generally, when Oklahoma City is in a tight game down the stretch, like, I have zero concern because they generally finish, like, almost always. Tonight they didn't. I think if they had won this game, we'd be talking about like, holy shit, back-to-back nights. The Thunder are 2-0 on a back-to-back because of Josh Giddey, where they could have been 0-2 if he was playing like the Josh of the past. Just really, really good tonight. 7-11 from the line. Like, he's knocking out his free throws. He didn't hit his threes tonight, to be clear, although he's 50% in the month of March from three. Was 0-3 tonight, 12-20 overall. He's a guy that, like, it's hard to get excited about it because he needs volume and the ball in his hands to be effective. And we've seen it recently because Shea's been hobbled and or out. And it's like, all right, Josh, take over a little bit. But can he do it when everyone's healthy and he's the actual fourth option? I still don't know, right?
Yeah.
He's been phenomenal the last 30 hours of basketball.
Yes, and it's the way he does it. Like against the Pelicans, let me look up his line against the Pelicans. I feel like he was hitting his threes that night specifically. He hit
5 of 8, 4 of 7, 5 of 8, yeah.
5 of 8, and tonight was different because he was hitting his like signature flip shot over and over and over again. Some of them insane. He hit the shot off his ass. He hit just insane one insane floater after another. Like you said, when he has the ball in his hands, he can make things happen.
Yeah,
on offense, he can make the right plays. He can be effective, and I don't know. I keep seeing his confidence go up, and I hope that. I don't think any of us should expect this to happen in the playoffs. If it does, it's going to be in short spurts, like same level of effectiveness without the volume. That's what we kind of hope for, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like tonight specifically, one game. If you told me, all right, Josh is going to score 31 on 12 of 20 shooting, 7-11 from the line, he'll give you 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, just 1 turnover, I'd say, give it to me every night. The reality is, Josh shooting 20 shots a night will not happen.
No.
It just won't. It doesn't matter if he finishes these last, there's 10 games left in the season. It doesn't matter if that's his nightly line. that's not going to happen in the playoffs. It's just not. It's all about like efficiency. Can you do it on smaller volume, but maintain that efficiency? And I don't know yet, but these kind of games, like, it's good to see that version of Josh. Like the play-in in New Orleans last year, Josh, who like was getting in fights with people, the Jabari fight tonight was BS. Like,
so, yeah,
I like Jabari Smith, I do, but he got suspended a game for getting into a fight. Tonight was his first game back, and you're gonna looking back, he didn't cause the altercation. It was actually Dylan Brooks.
Yeah,
but like, fake guy tough is the least cool thing in this league, and the Rockets have a lot of that. I watched
so performative, like manufacturing
it's like,
drama.
It's like he's in a play.
Yeah,
it's like he's in a play on a stage. I always watch the opposing broadcast when I watch games, to like hear their vantage point on Oklahoma City and their own team, and they were just like hyping up like Houston are these dogs. They get in fights every night, and I'm like, it's fake guy tough. Stop. Yeah.
I don't know who are the actual, like, Tari Eason, I consider pretty tough.
Tari's a dog. I think Amin's probably a dog.
Yeah. Van Vliet, maybe. It's all the guys that are quiet.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that is spot on. The guys that don't instigate are actually the dogs. And it's like it's like the guy that drives the big truck. It's like, if you have to make it known that you're this big dog, you're probably not a big dog.
Right.
Yeah. So, that's super relevant to the conversation, but glad we talked about it.
Yeah, but it was, you know, part of the game. And on Josh's volume, like tonight specifically, if Chet had had anywhere close to a average game, I don't even think Josh gets as many shots as he did tonight. Chet was only able to take two shots because he fouled out. He was in foul trouble the entire game. Finished with 2 points, 7 rebounds, and that's it.
Worst game of his career, you think?
Yeah.
There's been probably worse box scores.
Yeah.
But when you're not out there for more than 8, like Chet could go out there and put up a Tony Snell stat line, but you know he's like at least altering shots defensively. And like the stuff that he does, he spaces, like defenders have to go out on the perimeter and defend him offensively. So it creates space for Shea. And on the defensive end, if he doesn't get a block, he might be altering. Like, you know, he's making things happen when he's out there. But if he's only playing 18 minutes, like that's probably the worst game of his career. So combine that. So one, Shea's out. Two, Chet was basically a non-factor. Three, even though J-Dub did have some heroic shots on the stretch, 9 of 23, he had 23 points on 23 shots. Like, your big three, who is a phenomenal big three, contributed 25 points on 25 shots.
Yeah.
The fact that the Thunder didn't lose by 40 is a testament to the depth and the bench. You had Isaiah Joe with 17, Wiggins with 16, Gordon Hayward with 13, Josh Giddey had a great game, not on the bench, but like carried the starting unit. This was a game where it was like, man, if Oklahoma City had anybody in their big three show up whatsoever, this post-game pod is all about, oh wow, they're the number one seed. Because
yeah,
they lost, they go to three. If they had won, they'd be the number one seed right now. So it's like this point being,
yeah,
everyone in the chat that's freaking out right now, the three seed, oh my God. This is a game that if it swings one possession the other way and they win in regulation, we're talking about the number one seed in the West. So chill.
Houston would have been two games out of the nine seed too if they had lost this.
Yeah.
And Lu Dort went 2 of 10 also.
Right.
This game... There were miracles happening.
Miracles!
Yeah, off the bench in this game, there were miracles.
Bro.
Gordon Hayward did miracles on us tonight.
Yes.
The biggest miracle of all, he took 7 shots.
Yeah.
7 shots.
He had 13 points on 7 shots, which is remarkable. But if you told me, if you texted me this morning, because you did text me this morning, you said post-game show tonight. If you had said, hey, post-game show tonight, Shea's not playing, Chet's going to foul it after 18 minutes and only score 2 points. Both from the free throw line. Dub is going to have the least efficient night of the season. Lou's going to go 2 of 10. And Jalen Green is actually going to be efficient for like the 8th time this season.
Yeah.
I would have said they're going to lose by 40.
Yeah.
Like actually.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that this is a game, I don't get caught up in like the game to game. It's one game. They could have won by 30, lost by 30. It doesn't matter. It's a really good team. It's just funny how these games play out.
Yeah. I mean, there was crazy shit happening all night from the bench. Isaiah Joe,
bro,
had like the best dunk
with the left hand.
With the left hand and on a fast break where he could have passed it to Lou. He had just had poor old Jeff Green in front of him, 43-year-old Jeff Green.
He said, "Nah."
Rise up on him and
said, "Lou, I've seen you smoke a layup or two in your life. I'm just cocking this thing back."
That was
nasty. Unexpected.
So unexpected.
I mean, he's done this in the past. Like he's risen up for dunks and like tried postering, and you're like, "Well, they got some hops." It's rare that he actually connects like he did tonight. That was special. Yeah. That was
I've watched it 30 incredible. Times. It's insane.
It's hilarious. Insane.
And then he was kind of heat checking from that point on a little bit. He still finished 6 of 10, but he was unafraid after that point. I don't blame him.
You'll take 6 of 10 from Isaiah Joe, given the fact that his shot diet's like 90% 3-pointers.
Yeah. Great game from Aaron Wiggins. I thought.
Per usual. I mean,
per usual.
Was that,
play last
was that a, was that a sounder or was that actually you? Because that's literally every single night.
I know.
He's really good.
Yeah. Oh, he's super good. Makes it weirder that he the Gordon and Aaron Wiggins thing is going to be a conversation.
Yeah. I mean,
on this podcast, I'm sure.
You've got to think the fact that Shea didn't play tonight and Wiggins like was in the game, I think first quarter. You got to think that Mark intentionally didn't play him last night to have fresh legs tonight. Not that like 12 minutes from Wiggins last night would have made any difference, but the fact that he was a DNP all of a sudden was like first or second guy off the bench. Like there's a bigger picture thing happening here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it says a lot about Wiggins that he's equally as effective, even if he doesn't play the night before. Like he's just always ready. I think Mark preaches that and guys respond. Is there anything else we should touch on with this game? Anything?
No. Like, I think this is, I don't know if I'll talk about this phenomenon real quick. I won't rabbit hole too much. I think there's like rivalries on the court that players feel. Oklahoma City and Golden State half a decade ago was an example where, like, I guarantee you, when Golden State came to Oklahoma City, like I was at that game, and Russ was playing against KD in a Warriors uniform. Like that's a on court rivalry. Like there is some juice there. In today's era of Thunder basketball, I don't know if there's a real rival yet. Like the Spurs feel like an emerging rival. If Wemby's going to be Chet's nemesis, and the Spurs, assuming they're going to be good, and I think they will probably be like an on court, like where the players before the game were like, all right, this is a game we want to get up for. I think to the fans, Houston feels like a big rivalry because of all those dumb accounts out there that tweet the craziest stuff. I don't think the Thunder have any idea that the Thunder fan base cares about the Houston Rockets in any capacity.
No.
To them, it's like, oh, this is a team that's 1-9 straight, and they're like surging for the play-in. We should probably play well. All that to say, I think the fan base probably takes this loss really hard. Last thing I'll say is I think this is probably feels like a tough, like, gut punch. But one L in the loss column today is no different than one loss like it was against the Bucks or against the Pistons when they lost on that Sunday after. Like it's all one loss. It doesn't actually matter. And 10 games from now when they're the number 1, 2, or 3 seed in the Western Conference, you're not going to care. It doesn't matter.
No. Yeah, the Bucks, who after beating the Thunder on what day was that? Sunday?
Was Monday, I think.
Yeah, whenever that was. Whenever they played the Bucks, the
Sunday
podcast were crowning the Bucks for that victory, and then the Bucks come out yesterday and blow a huge lead to the Lakers and lose.
Yeah. Without LeBron. That's the NBA. And when it's not your team that you follow and care about, you're like, it's just a lie, whatever. But when it's your day, so all that to say, it's not all that important.
Yeah, everything, like, we get that everything it feels like everything matters because we watch all games, and we like these players as people so
totally,
much.
Totally.
You know, I just let out some hatred on Twitter and I move on.
Yeah, it's called coping.
Yes.
It's a part of the process.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that the Rockets annoy the Thunder players as much as they probably annoy every other team because they generally just have some annoying players on their roster.
Yes. Totally agree.
That's the theme for the game. Put a stamp on it. We're moving on.
Moving on.
I think our first ad break, and we're going to talk about last night's game against the Pelicans.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, the Thunder, on the first leg of the Sega Baba, played the New Orleans Pelicans and won 119 to 112. This was another good game from Josh Giddey. I feel like I don't remember what I watched this entire game, but I feel like I don't remember it because of this Houston game tonight. It's another really good game from Josh.
Yeah. Great game from Josh.
Yeah.
Especially early. If my memory serves me correctly, he had the first eight points for Oklahoma City. And at one point it was like Josh Giddey scored eight, the Pelicans scored two. Like obviously I didn't hold up, but he is a guy that we've seen this all season long. Teams are okay. Kind of like Jalen Green, not to make parallels, they're completely different players.
Mm-hmm.
Teams, when you're an inefficient scorer, they play the odds. That's what they do. My comment earlier when it's like, if Jalen Green is going to do a snatch back, fade away off one leg three and make it with your hand in his face, 31 opposing teams are going to say, shoot that all game long, please. And the same goes with Josh. Like they know he's not even a wide open good 3-point shooter, like 33.3% or whatever he's at. They're like, shoot it, dude. And the games that he makes it, it's like Twitter's blowing up. Josh has 10 points in the first quarter. Then it usually dies off. Usually. Or it's the opposite where it's like Josh goes 0 for 3 to start the game. And it's like out come the 13-year-olds on Twitter that are talking crap about everything. Against the Pelicans, it was like he started off strong. It's like 3 for 3 or 4 for 4 to start, and then it continued. And that same thing happened tonight. Like it continued. And the consistency has been the issue with Josh. In the New Orleans game, it was like this guy feels like he's playing with confidence. He's not so kind of like we look at Gordon Hayward, he's like blowing layups.
Yeah,
like you saw that before halftime. It's like he just like looks like he's like kind of short arming it. Like he doesn't feel like he can just play fluidly. Josh was the same way. It was like the shots that he normally would just float up and make, or like go into his defender and bully ball. Like if you went back to our podcast, the night of the play-in game against the Pelicans last year, Jacob Niffen would be saying, Josh Giddey finally realized he's 6'9" and can just bully any guard that defends him. And then this season he lost confidence and forgot that he was this jumbo guard. Feels like he's getting back to that where he understands that he has this ability to just bully people. And I know I said 31 other teams, I think in NFL. I know there's only 29 other teams. Smoot's already roasted me in the comments. I understand, Smoot. I've been thinking about Dallas Cowboys football, which has been a freaking nightmare of an offseason. Yeah. Josh Giddey is playing with confidence, and that goes a long way. It goes a long, 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 long way. So all the things that like he used to do with confidence, like I'm just going to pull up over you, or I'm going to back you down and make a turnaround jumper, I'm going to shoot this three with confidence. Like, it's a big deal. And against Minnesota, he played confident all night, and it worked. It was a huge game. Like, they do not win that game without him. They're up 20 points in the third quarter and lost all of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
Which felt bad. It felt very bad. It felt like a redo of that Mavericks game.
Oh, my God. The 30-0.
Yeah, the 30-0. It felt like the against the Pelicans, it was a redo of the Mavericks game. And tonight, it felt like a redo of the Warriors game that SGA missed earlier this season, where the young guys led it and missed, lost at the very end because that Draymond or that call.
That goaltend. Or what, should have been goaltend?
Should have been a goaltend. Whatever. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I don't have any. You're totally right about Josh. The takeaway are not, for me, the takeaway is not the statistics he's putting up. It's the confidence. It's the visual increase in confidence. Like, he was mean mugging tonight after and once. He was, I don't know. It feels like all the shots he takes are, like you said, confidence-based shots. Like, all the floaters and things look really ugly when you're missing them and you're pulling up short on all of them, like Gordon Hayward is right now.
Yeah.
This is a short aside. I was thinking so much about Gordon Hayward. I looked up his averages with OKC and Kyle Singler's averages with OKC earlier today. They're really close. Four points for Gordon, three for Kyle. Two assists and a half for Gordon, half an assist for Kyle. 2.5 rebounds for Gordon, 2 rebounds for Kyle.
Oh, no.
It's tough.
To be fair, Gordon is in the back half of his career.
He is.
Kyle is like this 3-year, $15 million guy that's going to help, and then he never helped. I think it's important to note, as much as we hyped up Josh, there was like early in the season, he was like, find the camera, he was down here, right?
Yeah.
Right now, he's like pretty dang high. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like in the month of March, he's been bonkers. I think the real Josh is probably like here, somewhere in the middle. And you just hope that like when he regresses to the mean, it's a slow regression and it's like that is the mean, and it's not like back to old Josh, especially in the playoffs. Like, I don't want to get into the off-court stuff, but the boos have quieted down a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Loud last night, but
you still hear them in some arenas.
Yeah.
You're going to hear them very loudly.
Everything's
in every road arena of the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
And that's a little scary for a guy that's playing well right now and sitting his groove. I don't know, something to think about. Like, the question we've talked about in Slack is like, are the boos over? Even if the boos had been over for weeks, they're coming back in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be over once we forget about them. And we have not. And opposing fans have not, and Twitter has not. And it's just gonna be there. But I mean, he's getting involved in like post game interviews again.
Yeah, yeah.
And seems to have his teammates behind him.
And he's always had his teammates behind him.
Oh, just
publicly, you couldn't see it because he wasn't in the spotlight.
Which is more, had to be reserved for the circumstances that were at play. But really good win. I thought they did a good job solving the Zion problem, you know, as well as they could.
Yeah.
Zion's like a monster right now. Yeah. And I thought, like, Chet specifically, the way they had guys double Zion and funnel him into Chet over and over and over again was a really effective way to handle that.
Yeah. I think with Chet, it's very clear, not to be doomsday, but like thinking about the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if you pulled the data, and this is on ESPN, actually, like it's actually like on their splits page, so we could pull this up. Chet on the second out of a back-to-back versus Chet on 1 day of rest versus Chet on 2 days of rest versus Chet on 3 days of rest. My gut tells me on more rest, he is a freaking baller, like all-star level player.
Yeah.
He is very much coming off of a significant foot injury that has not hindered his ability to do his things, but it feels like from a, like, not even like a conditioning standpoint, but from like his body, just like allowing him to do what he wants to do standpoint, anytime he's on short rest, he's just not the same. Like Jacob loves, when the Thunder have 3 days of rest, Jacob's like, expect a Chet Hall of Fame game tonight, which like, not wrong. Like he's really good when he's rested, and rested Chet makes threes, and he's like got a little more bend in his shot, and the legs are there. Like it's a real thing. I'd love to pull up his stats. I'm not gonna do it on the pod.
The shot is the direct thing that I see.
Yes. Yes.
They're short as shit if he's tired.
And in the playoffs, you don't have a lot of rest. Now that I've said that Josh is going to get booed and Chet's going to have no rest, I'm not sitting here saying the Thunder are going to suck in the playoffs. I'm just saying there's a lot of ways the game changes when stakes rise like they will come April.
Yeah, it'll be a good learning experience for them. My hope is that in the future, as Chet gets stronger, more well-conditioned, that this is less of a thing. You know, he's still going to be thin.
Oh, it will, 100%. It will.
This is his rookie year, ultimately, and, you know,
it
happens. I mean, the fact that he can rebound and play so well that is still makes me optimistic.
And there's guys in the past, Micić is one this year, Usman Jang, when he was a rookie, like Mark came out and said, these guys have never played an 82-game season. They played a 20 or 30-game season. We're intentionally resting them on games. Their body gets used to it. We're talking about a guy in Chet Holmgren that came off an significant injury and has played every single game this season.
Yeah.
Like his body, I don't care if he was injured or not, has got to feel somewhat cooked. Mine would feel cooked. Rookies.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like the rookies just, this happens with rookies. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Like J-Dub last year was not the norm. Like J-Dub got better as the season went on. Ultimately had a bad play-in, but got better as the season went on. And
totally. You
know, he's older. It
happens. Happens.
Anything else on the Pelicans game?
No. Last thing I'll say is perspective. If they'd lost that game, they'd be on a 3-game losing streak right now.
Yep.
But they're not.
We'd be burning it down in here, wouldn't we?
We would be, the chat would be, this team sucks, they're horrible, three games. But they haven't lost 3 games all year, which, to wrap this little segment up, there's ups and downs in a season. Every team goes through winning and losing streaks. The fact that Oklahoma City has not lost 3 consecutive games all year speaks to a lot.
It's huge.
Massive.
What do you think about how that 73-win Warriors team never lost 2 games in a row? That's a stupid stat. That's,
I mean... That's a stupid. Stupider is Oklahoma City going up 3-1 on that same team and losing.
Oh, nightmare.
Yeah.
All right, let's take our last break, and then we're gonna do our Spark of the Week segment. Be right back. All right, we're back from the break. Spark joy at Scissortail Park's family-friendly joint, Spark. Dive into their menu of burgers, bites, and cold delights. Don't skip the must-try BLC burger. Nick, what does BLC stand for? Do you know?
Bacon, lettuce. What's the C?
I don't know.
I haven't been yet. I'm coming back to Oklahoma City in April, and I'm going to Spark to try out all the things. So we'll find out. We'll let you know.
We will. Pink fries, a frozen peach glow special, which is great, actually, and rotating custard flavor of the month. Located directly west of the Paycom Center, Spark is the best spot to hit before or after a Thunder game. We all know 2 scoops or even 3 scoops of custard is better than 1, so be on the lookout for Spark number 2 and 3 coming to Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills later this spring and summer. Now it's time to pick our Spark of the Week. Player moment that gave the Thunder an extra spark this past week. This one, you know, this feels pretty easy for me. It's going to be Isaiah Joe's slam-a-jamma from tonight's game. Called it the Hog Hammer in our Slack. What do you think about that
one? Oh, boy. Don't love the name, love the dunk.
Yeah.
It is a very weird thing when you're, like, the majority of, like, three-point snipers in this league are just that, three-point snipers.
Yeah.
When you got a guy that all of a sudden can rise up and dunk on you, it's like, oh, okay, there might be something more here.
He's awesome.
He's good. Isaiah's great.
You know, actually, I wonder what he was tonight from three. I need to check because on Sunday's show, I said he would go like 10 of 15.
Oh,
three. He was 2 of 4 last night.
Okay.
And
felt it that the eye test would suggest he was great tonight.
Yes, my phone is just destroying itself currently.
Speaking
here we are.
Of BLC, while you're looking it up, the loyal listeners here at 10:30 at night Central Time, we've got a couple guesses. C could be cheese, C could be carrots, C could be cauliflower, or BLC could be Bucks Lakers Celtics. Bucks Lakers Celtics burger. You think that's what they're serving up in OKC?
That's great. He's 6 of 10, his last two.
Oh, so he needs to go 4 of 5.
Yeesh, which is unlikely.
That's not impossible for us.
Not impossible at all. And I don't win anything for this other than honor, clout.
Honor, clout. But Jacob will somehow change the rules and you won't actually get any clout.
I know.
They got the Suns on Friday.
Yeah.
Feel like a game where not much defense will be played.
No, not at all.
We'll see.
I don't like the Suns are sad.
Are we going to talk about the let's finish our Sparks of the Week. And yeah. Then I before we log off, I know we're getting close to time. I want to talk about the upcoming schedule because it is brutal.
Brutal.
My Spark of the Week, when you said it's easy, Isaiah Joe, I thought you were going to say it's easy, Josh Giddey. he's been great, like holistically, this week. Gordon Hayward, while he had 11 of his 13 in the first half, the 11 in the first half was like the reason it was even a game. Oklahoma City, if you guys didn't watch this game, with 6 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter, they had 3 points. In a lot of scenarios, if the Rockets weren't just horrific from the field as well, they had, I think it was 3-13, maybe 3-16. Like it could have easily been like 3-24 and the game was just pretty much over. It wasn't because Gordon Hayward came out and was like hot. And that's the exact reason you can't box score watch. If you box score watch and said, oh, Gordon Hayward, he finally shot 7 shots, but only had 13 points. But it's like, yeah, bro, he had 11 in the first half and Oklahoma City led by a point after scoring 3 through 6 minutes. It's all about like the right shot at the right time. And Gordon was very much that tonight. I'll give it. I named two names, Josh and Gordon. I'll give it to Josh for this week.
Yeah. A honorable mention can be Gordon. Well, yeah, he can be the honorable mention. he kind of pulled a Tony Snell last night and then came back and did pretty well tonight.
Yeah. You know. But like, again, everything is a game of possessions. If they had won tonight, it was two in a row, you wouldn't be talking down about anybody, you know? It's funny how things change with like one little change in the win-loss column.
It is. It is. All right. You want to talk about the what's your prediction for the Friday game?
What I actually think is a win, what I put on our thing, I put win-loss. Oh, I'm two for two this week. Okay. Oh,
I don't know how to do that.
The emojis isn't working. Oh, there we go.
Whoa.
Something about the new MacBook has like emojis when regardless of the screen platform you're on. I went win-loss. It's been win-loss to this point, and I actually think it's going to be a win against the Suns, so win-loss. So maybe I'm onto something with that pattern.
Maybe you are.
I think the Suns are a team kind of like the Lakers, kind of like the Warriors. Like all those teams that are kind of there at the bottom of the play-in could beat anybody on any given night. And you'd be like, yeah, of course they did. But they could also lose by 30. And you'd be like, yeah, because those teams have no depth or they have this flaw or this void. It's an OKC. I think Oklahoma City wins that game. But then you look forward. You got the Knicks on Sunday in New York at the Garden. You got the Sixers in Philly. Then you got the Celtics at TD. And then you got the Pacers at Gainbridge.
Celtics
That's
is tough,
isn't it?
Celtics is the second night of a back-to-back, right?
Yes, it is.
That sucks.
And Silva, I don't want to rabbit hole this. We're already at 38 minutes. Do you think there's any chance that Shea is on a protocol that he doesn't play the second night of a back-to-back the rest of the year? Because there's two more. After tonight, there's two more second night of back-to-backs to close the season. Should he? Because the question is not will he, because we can't predict the future. Should he play second out of back-to-back, given he's gimpy right now?
My brain says, like, there should he be, if this injury is not healing off of just one day of rest, and it's going to be something he just has to manage, yeah, he should be sitting out the remaining Sega Babas. I personally hope that he does.
Yeah.
Because not even just this injury, he's just has a lot of reps.
Yeah.
I compared him to like a running back on here with Taylor once with how many drives he has compared to everyone else in the wear and tear he's accruing from that. So I would like to see that personally. I know he's like he could win MVP, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I think it's more important for him to show up in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's not winning MVP. I'll put that out there now. He's not winning MVP. Being second behind a guy like Jokic, who whole different podcast, but if that guy wins another title and another MVP, like, you're talking about maybe the best center of all time.
No, he's goated at that point.
Like it's hard to argue how many, like, there's more than one or two better centers ever. Yeah. The fact that you're like runner up to him at age 25.
It's an honor.
It's an honor. Tough schedule ahead. It's probably, if the Thunder are going to lose three straight games, it's going to be on the stretch. I don't think it'll happen. They'll probably beat the Suns, and if they lose to the Knicks, they'll beat the Sixers. It's always how they work. Like, they're never going to lose three in a row, I don't think. But it's a really tough stretch, and I believe my philosophy or thought process is, while home court advantage is very important, Oklahoma City probably, as an organization, expects to get past the first round, and you want to have home court in every round that you can. At this point in the year, whether you're 1, 2, or 3, there's not an easy matchup. Like, you could be 1, and the 8 seed could be the Suns, who are, all of a sudden, our big 3 is healthy. Or it could be the Lakers, and Bron and AD are on one. It could be the 2 seed, and you can get the same team. Or the 3 seed, and you can get the Mavs. Like, there's not an easy road, and like home court advantage is great, but like, to me, if you said, do you want to push for the 1 or get Shea healthy for the playoffs, I'd almost say sit Shea the rest of the year, go 500 the rest of the season, you win 55 games, you get the 3 seed, and just see what happens.
Yeah.
Versus the opposite, which would be like push him through 10 games and he's hobbled going into the playoffs.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you on that. If I saw a tweet yesterday I thought was interesting. If the Nuggets did not exist in the West, would this be the most parity the West has like ever seen?
I think even with the Nuggets, to be honest with you.
No, I agree.
I mean, I think they're a team that everyone believes, like, anytime you win it, the next year is like, just get to the playoffs and we're going to be
as
good as we are. Like the Nuggets probably care less than the Thunder about getting the 1 seed, but they probably will get it because of the Nuggets and they're really good. And they're probably going to be at a whole new level in the playoffs. But at the same time, like, it's the playoffs. And we've seen the Nuggets fall short many times in the past and Jamal Murray get hurt many times in the past. We've all seen Jamal Murray score 50 in huge games in the past.
MPJ's gotten hurt many times before.
That's what I'm saying. It's a whole new world. Like, it's almost like, I'll have a different tune whenever we have our postseason pod, because I'll be hyping it up and stuff. But like, it's almost like, who cares about the 82 games before this? This is ground zero. It doesn't matter. It's all about experience, top level talent, and superstars.
Yeah.
The Nuggets have that. So to answer your question, if the Nuggets weren't here, most parity ever. Even if they're here though, like, I don't think, like, they're the favorite to win the West, but I would not be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the Thunder could lose in the first round or make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Thunder could get swept in the first round or make it to the finals, and I would be equally as shocked both directions.
Yeah, which is why I'm not ready for 3 weeks now, personally.
It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts. All right, we can get out of here.
Yep.
Thank you guys in the live stream for joining us after the L tonight. Still had a good time. Everyone was civil. It was great. We're going to be back Friday. I think it's Taylor and maybe a special guest, a.k.a. his brother, on Friday. That'll be cool, and then we'll be back Sunday for the usual weekly show. Until then, though, adios and thunder up.
Whew. Whew.